Would please. We're going to kind of bounce off our message this morning, the book of Luke, if you would please, with me. You'll see when I get started, but we're going to go on a direction that finishes this. Luke chapter 18, if you would, we're going to start reading verse 27, and you'll hear the same phrase I've said this morning. Luke chapter 18, verse 27 says, "And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Then Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." And he said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left houses or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and the world to come, life everlasting." Heavenly Father, thank you for all your love for us. Thank you and praise you for the word of God. I pray, Lord, now that you will give me strength and wisdom in how I speak. May Jesus Christ be lifted up in every way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Job said this. Job answered his men, his friends, if you want to say. And he said this in the book of Job chapter 21. He said, "Therefore they say unto God," he's talking about the wicked, "they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways." What is the Almighty that we should serve him? Or what profit should we have if we pray unto him? My title tonight for the message is, good question. What's in it for me? You know, I've been involved with a lot of things in my life as a human being as well as a Christian. I remember I loved sports, and I had someone say about sports as a distraction. It can. It's neat when you have a Christian coach and Christian coaches and Christians you're working in a school where you have a lot of more Christians you have today. Back then, we said the Pledge of Allegiance every day. We actually had prayer before church. Before school, every school period. I remember in sports, we knelt and prayed every time before a game or for a match in wrestling. We prayed all the time. So, a lot different than it is today. We have kind of kicked God out of school. Isn't that sad? But here in our text, in the text in Luke, we need to understand something. Everybody can serve God. There is a benefit in serving God. Peter says, "We've left all." You know, the sad part is the rich young ruler was unwilling. If you go back, the rich young ruler was unwilling to pay the price. He was unwilling to give it all up, give up the comforts of home, the places that you're familiar with. So I remember when we first moved up here, my oldest son Daniel said, "I'm moving away from my friends in school and church." I'm thinking, what do you think your parents are doing? You know, when they get called to preach and have to go somewhere else, they're leaving everything also. I left a business. I left a great ministry. And our junior high, man, we were seeing anywhere between 30 and 45 kids saved every year in our youth department. My wife and I had a great ministry going there, and we had inherited 23 kids, and it grew to 89. I mean, God has blessed us. We haven't averaged that yet here. I know what it is. You guys are not teenagers. I don't know what it is, but it's just interesting. Every person, though, can serve God if they want to. There is a cost, and we need to understand there's a cost. But you know what? We have a great God. Amen. And our great God says, you know what? I'm not going to leave you without a blessing. The young ruler got no blessings, but the disciples did. The disciples got to see it. Now, you may be sitting here, like I says, I got involved with sports. I got involved with business. Now, I'm going to tell you, if business and sports is what you're looking for, the rewards are small and temporal. Small and temporal. They'll forget how good of a builder. I heard this statement when I was a young man starting construction. They said, this guy said, 1,000 that a boys doesn't make up for one oops. Yep. Yep. You could get patted on the back 1,000 times and they won't remember that you when you make a mistake. They'll only remember your mistake. I've seen that in Christians' lives, and I've seen that in sports especially, and it's sad, but that's how the world treats you. but not our Lord.
Amen.
Have a great Lord. He's going to reward us. So I have seven things, again, like it's more, but it's going to be real quick because the trap door is shaken. So what are some things that God can give us if we listen to Him, if we allow Him to work in our lives? There's three. I can't go to all the verses. You're going to have to write them down if you would, because we still don't have the time. But I do want to give you these. First one is clean living. Clean living. First of all, we can have a clear voice to God. You remember what He says, if we regard iniquity in our heart, He will not hear us. So one thing, that if we have clean living, we have a clear voice to God. And that's what I want. How about you? When I live a clean living life, if I stay true to the Lord, I have a clear voice to God. Listen, you're sitting here and you're going, I had someone say that this morning, the visitor, that was kind of neat. He responded in Sunday school class about prayer. When we pray, he says, what the problem is, sometimes it feels like there's something ahead of above me and my prayers are not going through. And I said, well, get your life straightened out with God and that will disappear. Because God wants to hear us. Man, I tell you, Christian, the first thing to do is when you get on your knees and you feel like God's not hearing you, you need to stop and say, I'm sorry, Lord. Reveal to me the sin that is keeping you from hearing me. So when you live a clean life, you get a clear voice, you get a clear vision. The Bible talks about that in 2 Chronicles in chapter 7, verse 15. The vision is this: if I repent, get right with God, He'll heal my land. Listen, folks, I don't know if you realize this, searching scriptures out, if you check it out, especially in the children of Israel's time when they were in Egypt, every time the Egyptian king asked for help from God's people, all they had to do was pray. And God took care of it. He took care of the nation. The only reason why Egypt became strong in the first place is because of the Israelites. A guy named Joseph. Amen. And the only reason why they didn't get killed off more than they did is because Moses prayed for them many times. And we need to understand that God will take care of us. He even said to Abraham, if I only find 10 Christians, and historians say in Sodom and Gomorrah at the time, there were over 120,000 people in that area. And if I only find 10, I wouldn't destroy them. Right? He couldn't find 10. Only found Lot, his wife, and his two daughters that were righteous, that were saved. The rest of them weren't saved. So he said, if I just find 10, I'll save the land. 10 out of 120,000 is a small number. Christians, we can have a clear voice, a clear vision, a clean vessel. I don't know, a clear vessel. Bible talks about that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. Being clean, a vessel unto honor. Anybody have a favorite cup like me to drink your coffee at home? Got a favorite cup or whatever you're drinking? Got a favorite cup? You take care of that cup. That's your cup. I'm going to tell you, if someone dirties that cup, you're not happy. Amen? Especially if you're the one that dirties it. You're not happy, and you got to clean that cup. A clean cup is something you want to use, and we need to understand. The second thing is, in Psalm chapter 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scorner. That's what it says. But his delight is what? In the word, in the law of the Lord. So the second thing is not only clean living. If we live a clean life, God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you a clear voice. I'm going to be waiting for you. Remember that? He even says, I'll be right here waiting for that prayer. Pray, please pray. Please, 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 please. But if we're sinning, if we don't have a clean life, He's not going to hear us. Second thing is, stay in the Word of God. Stay in the book. My son and I was talking this evening, and one of the sad things years ago, this was back in year 2005, I think it was, I got this piece of paper. It was actually two pieces printed on both sides, a questionnaire for pastors, Baptist preachers. We filled out this questionnaire and mailed it in. So I filled mine out, and I mailed it in, and we got the results about four months later, we got the results, and it was kind of interesting that the average preacher read 30 books a year in the Baptist, but only spent 15 minutes in their Bible per day. Obviously, there were more books written by man to tell us how God is instead of the Bible that was written by God that told us about man. And you know, one of the messes we have is the preachers getting up and not knowing the word and preaching falsehood. How come falsehood comes into the church? Is we stopped reading the Bible. Stay in the book. Amen. You stay in the book, you'll be full, the Bible says. Open thy mouth and I will fill it. The Lord's going to fill you with wisdom and strength and peace and happiness. Come on, amen. But you got to be in the word. If you're not in the word, it's not going to happen. Study God's written word to know Christ, the living word. We need to be in the word of God. But not only to be full, to be faithful. We need to understand in Joshua that he says, listen, you're going to see the faithfulness of God in your life when you're in the word of God and know his commandments. He says, if we know his commandments and do them, we'll prosper. Yep. I like to prosper. How about you? I like to be at the end of the day and look back and see that I made an impact on this world. And I'm not talking like Pigpen did in Peanuts. Everywhere he went, he left a cloud of dirt. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about destruction. I'm talking about building something or doing something in people's lives. I hope if I do go to Haiti, you'll miss me. We talked about that, and he said, your wife will miss you. I said, no, she won't. we need to be, and he'll make us fruitful, the Bible says in the book of John chapter 15, verse 5, that we will get fruitful. He wants us to be fruitful, but the only way we can be fruitful is we got to be in the book. So we see, first of all, clean living. Secondly, staying in the Word of God. What else can I do? Well, intense prayer. We were talking a little bit about that in our Sunday school class, and we're in supplication. And one of the things that's missing today is intense prayer. We have personal prayer found in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, that we need to call on the Lord. You know, he's waiting for us to call on him so he could show us great and marvelous things that we know not. God wants to show us things, not only through his book. I don't know about you. I just praise the Lord that when I read the word of God, because I'm reading and praying, God reveals things unto me. Yes, the Bible even says that he reveals them unto his ministers. Well, we better be in the book or he can't reveal it to us. But stay in the book, a personal answer. I mean, our intense prayer by our personal prayers. Matthew 7:7, what shall you ask? You shall receive. What shall you seek? You shall find. What shall you knock? It shall be answered. Come on, amen. But let's get in the book and ask, seek, and knock. Number two on this is not only personal prayers are answered, but partnership prayers are answered. Partnership prayers. Prayers of a community, a group getting together. One of the things that I would love to see more of, and that is the Holy Spirit coming down on our prayer meetings. Years ago, this is many years ago, I don't remember how long ago, it's been probably, man, Bernal, if you remember, when Brother Stiff came, it's been at least 10 years. 10 years, the preachers were downstairs, and it was after dinner and after the end service, and it was the second day of our meeting. We're downstairs, it was Tuesday night. Everybody was gone, but just as preachers, a few preachers and a couple members or ladies were taking care of tending the kitchen. And we started to talk about ministry, difficulties in the excitements of ministry. And then all of a sudden, I decided, you know what? I just felt, I don't know why, I started singing Amazing Grace. Just as softly. And all of a sudden, all the men started crying. And we all started singing Amazing Grace together and crying, just feeling God moving upon us. And then we got out on our knees and asked God to work on all of our hearts and our ministries. You don't see much of that anymore. Oh, me? Well, listen, we can see God moving if we get intense prayers. We need more of that. Amen? Purposes answered, purposeful answers, answered the things that get fervent, earnest prayer of a righteous man does what? It availeth much. Much will get accomplished if we have intense prayer. And I beg you, don't quit on your prayers.
Amen.
Fourthly, Psalm 126, if you would, please. Psalm 126, and I'm trying not to hit too many. We have a few minutes to finish this up. Psalm 126, but I want to see a few verses. Psalm 126, if you would, please. Just look down at verse 5 and 6 with me. The Bible says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and reapeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless," amen, "come again with rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him." Constant concern is the next one. We ought to have a constant concern for God's work. You know, it's not going to be unrewarded. I think what's going on is, we talked about this in Sunday school department about distractions. We get distracted so easily in this world. Things take up our interests, and we lose. Listen, Obama is bad, Biden was bad, the Bushes were bad, and I'm going to say it, Trump is bad. He's not the answer for America. He's better than the rest. Come on, amen? I voted for him. He's better than the rest, but he is not a godsend. He's just better than the rest. Praise the Lord, amen? I am not concerned about government. I have people coming all the time wanting me to sign petitions, want me to do this, get involved with this. I have people that come to church. I have a family member that spent in the last 2 or 3 weeks working at a poll for the Republican Party and is upset with me that I won't do that. Why? I'm not concerned with that stuff. My concern is the work of the Lord. And because of that, the Lord's going to bless. How many souls have you seen saved since you've been saved because you witnessed to them? You know why you haven't seen many or none? You don't have a concern. It's got to be constant. Sow in tears. You got to sow. Anybody that's done a garden knows you don't just drop it on the ground and walk away. Come on, am I right? You got to go up there and make some preparation first. Get rid of the rocks. Get rid of the weeds. Plow it up. Come on, amen. You got to plow it up. You got to put it in rows. You got to plant the seed. You got to, guess what, after you plant the seed, you got to water it. And then you look around, you see green, and go, oh, excited, something's coming up. That's called a weed. Yeah. Amen. Be careful. Amen. Because if it comes up that fast, it's a weed. Weeds come up faster than the fruit does. And you wait and start seeing the fruit come up. Guess what? Weeds keep coming. I didn't plant one weed in our garden, but I'm going to tell you, we have more weeds than we have fruit. It takes effort to get it. It takes effort. Come on, amen. A constant concern. You got to do it. What do you get? You get converts, sheaves. Doubtless you shall produce seeds. If you haven't seen someone saved, it's not because of the word. You will see some. You should see people saved in your ministry if you have a constant concern. Christians, saints that you have helped. The Bible talks about Daniel, about turning many to righteousness. When you walk up to a Christian and smack them upside the head and say, get right with God, would you? Not literally. Sometimes it needs literally, but not literally. You go up, I mean, most of the time it's a shock to them if you just know what they're doing wrong and you're willing to come straight to them and talk to them about it instead of gossip about it. Amen? Amen. You want to gain your brother, so you see him doing something wrong, you go straight to him. You don't talk to me. Don't talk to me if you see a brother or sister do something wrong. Talk to them. Amen? That's what the Bible says. Christians, church. Church is the household of faith. I praise God for our church. I really enjoy coming here. I have no problem getting up and coming to church because we have good fellowship. And that's a benefit from having a constant concern. And some of you come and go. Man, be more faithful. You'll find out it is a blessing to have the household of faith. Fifth thing, Matthew 8:28. And some of you know this. For all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go ye into all the world. Come on, amen. And the Bible talks about that. If you would, please, Matthew 28. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The next thing is, when we put time and toil in, I've worked on jobs where I put some time in and it didn't do me any good. I worked for some businesses that closed down. I remember when I was working, and they didn't close down because of me. Yeah, I don't know if you folks remember. You may not know it up here. They had a place called Burger Chef, which was before Burger King. It was mainly in the East Coast, but it did come out into the Midwest, and they tried it in the Midwest. And they were actually the first flame-broiled hamburgers. Burger King took it off them, but Burger Chef closed down. Years later, I think they have one shop left. And I remember working there, and then they closed down. I thought, you have a plan, purpose, and perpetuity. The plan, we have a plan. It's called the Great Commission. The plan there was to make junk food, basically. I don't know about you, but fast food is not good food. The reason why it's fast is it's no good. Should take some time to cook. Come on, amen. But we had flame burgers. We cooks are the ones that came up with a triple burger, because that's when we got a free burger every day. So we thought, I'll just make it as big as I can get my mouth around it. So we had stacked that sucker up, and then finally the manager saw that. He goes, "Man, we need to sell that." Burger Chef was the one we started on 95th Street in Kansas City, the triple burger, you know, the heart attack burger, because each one was a quarter pound, 3/4 of a pound of burger. That's a lot of burger. That's a lot of burgers. So if you was a kid, you should be laughing by now. Amen. Flame broil. God has a plan. You know, one of the things that I like about God's work is He doesn't make guesswork. He doesn't send us out there to guess what we're supposed to do. He has a plan for us. He says we're supposed to go, number one. We're supposed to win people, make disciples. We're supposed to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So in other words, teach them the doctrine and get them to join the church. Then we're supposed to teach them. That's a plan. That's a purpose for our life. Amen? Listen, if you're here today and you don't have a purpose, your purpose is to zigzag or talk while I'm preaching. Please don't do that. It distracts me. Your purpose ought to be the Lord's work. I've had people say, "Well, I have a job." So, your purpose should stay the same. The Lord's work. Amen. Job is just to pay the bills. Amen? And if you're a man, to stay busy. But I like the perpetuity of the church. Lo, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. We have perpetuity. We thank God for that. Persistence. Next one is persistence. In the book of if we stay persistent, stay true, God will give us the energy, according to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28-31. I'm 66 years of age, and I'm going to tell you, I haven't lost a step in my preaching, in my work. I think I'm more energetic now than I was when I was 40. Why? God says, "I'm going to give you the strength." There's times when I hardly get up here. I'm so tired from work, that when I get up here, I'm tired, but God lights a fire. And I have the same energy I had when I was a young man. Why? God gives you the energy. He says, you stay faithful, you be persistent, and I'll help you along the way. Come on, amen. He didn't say He gives strength to the one sitting on their fanny. You talk about people doing the work. Mm-hmm. I will give you enthusiasm. Boy, that's missing today. You know, one of the things that I would love to see in Christians is some more enthusiasm. Amen. Do you realize, if you're saved by grace, you're here today and you're on your way to heaven, do you realize, if you actually believe anything in the Bible, God just took your life, your eternity, instead of sticking it in a lake of fire where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. It's always burning. You're always hot. You're always heating. You're always having fever. You have all the regrets you've ever had in the world of not accepting Jesus. You are alone in darkness and wailing and torment forever. We're not taking a day or two, 1,000 years. We're talking forever. And God goes, not that one. I'm going to send them to heaven. That's you. You're on your way to heaven now. You're on your way to heaven now. Yeah, okay, there we go. A little bit of enthusiasm. That's what I'm talking about. I don't know where it's gone. I remember when we was youth class, we were excitable. Today, the kids come to the club. It looked like they died 2 days earlier and no one told them. I don't, man, that's just, hey, God says you got persistence, you stick to it, I'll give you enthusiasm. I'll make you excited about things.
Amen.
Amen. Preach it. I like Brother Gregory. He just go, I give. Lastly, and this is the one, and I think this is the one reason why we don't do anything. Mark, if you would, in chapter 10. I'm just going to be honest with you. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Mark chapter 10, verse 29. Remember, Peter said in verse 28, began to say unto him, Lord, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Does that sound familiar? Same as the book of Luke? Is that right? But listen how Jesus' answer is a little different. Jesus answered and said, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold all God's people said. Nobody have a problem with that, do we? In this time, in other words, in this life, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers, and I don't know if I want 2 or 3 mothers, but I guess you can, and children and with lands, with. You see why people don't want to serve Jesus? You see why that rich young ruler said nope? Amen?
Amen.
You know what God's going to promise you? All of verse 30. All of verse 30. And in the world to come, eternal life. Did you see the one part he added in Mark? With persecutions. You're not, if you want to serve the Lord, you're going to be persecuted.
That's right. Yeah.
Yea, all that live godly shall suffer persecution.
Yep.
Family, foes, friends, government, come on, name it. Persecutions. See, there isn't a person here today that is saying, that is not saying, Pastor, why should I serve God? Why should I be faithful? Why do I need to come? I hear it all the time. Why should I come to every service? Just gave you the list. God wants to bless you. God has something in it for you. But the problem is, he throws persecution in there. Because of that, a lot of people, well, it sounded good until persecutions came. It's part of the package. It is part of the package. Let's stay faithful to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We can be used of God and be blessed of God. If we are willing to pay the price, we do not need, I'm not saying we don't have to, we need it, but we do it not for we do pay the price for education, sports, family, and jobs. Why not for the Lord?
Yeah.
Those other things can only offer us temporal blessings. God offers us even eternity in the world to come.
Amen.
God's blessings are eternal. In this time, in this present time, and the world to come, he said, I will bless you. What an opportunity we have with a God. So the good question is, what's in it for me? Well, God's got a lot of stuff for us, doesn't he? Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you and praise you for this time in thy house. I pray now, Lord, that you'll bless this invitation time, speak to us in a way that I cannot speak to them. I can't speak to the folks the way the Holy Ghost can. So speak to us, Lord, in a way that is prosperous to thee and thy work. In Christ's name we pray.